Jessica, we good? All right. In the event we lose, please pray I don't lose my lesson because I like the electronic lessons now. I'm getting, still got my iPad right here just in case for a backup. But I do my best to try to teach and preach from here and here just in case I lose that too. Amen. We are in the month of March. And I know this may sound contradictory to some of what you heard last weekend, but it's not, because there's joy in the battle. Amen? You got to look for it. You got to know where it's at, but there's joy in the battle. Everybody say amen. We are in the youth group, Brother Jared, Brother David, and myself, teaching in the month of March. How many of y'all know his history? Anybody? If we could possibly earn money by sticking Jared in a trivia quiz, I would probably stick Jared in a trivia quiz to earn money for the youth group. Jared comes up, I know what I want to do. It's the month of March, and in March, historically, people went to battle. Only Jared, if you know Jared, would say that. I'm like, how do you know that? Why do you care? He goes, nobody fought when it was freezing outside. Nobody wanted to go to battle. Everybody hunkered down. And I thought about it. I said, yeah, let's do that. Month of March. And now this is last month of me coming into March. And a few things I thought of. You know, in the wintertime, you get to fatten up. Only the big people raise their hand on that. What's, come on. When the time you do get to fatten up, the days are shorter, you get your rest in. For those that work outside, Brother Eric's days have been short. They're getting long now, ain't they, Brother Eric? Overtime's coming on. The sun's still up till 7 now for those that work outside. But in the wintertime, you got to bulk up and work out, strategize. Brother Chris told me something just yesterday that I want to inject. He said, you know, Brother Keith, back when, the leaders got together and decided before the war who was going to get what. Kind of like we fight in the back of school when we were kids. They don't fight like that no more. It's like 1 against 10 now. Remember we used to fight 1-on-1? And you're going to give me that yo-yo when I whoop you. It's going to be my yo-yo. My top. Brother Chris, you're going to hold it because you're going to officiate the fight. And it's on. We're just going to fight till somebody quits. But when they quit, the spoilage, yo-yo comes to me. Top comes to me. Marbles come to me. Y'all remember that? You didn't just fight because you wanted to fight. You had to have a reason to fight. Amen? How can we talk about spiritual warfare without going to the book of Ephesians chapter 6? And I'll do the reading. And it's probably the most scripture I'm going to go with today. Most of you are probably very familiar with it. Everybody give it a big stretch. There you go. All right, here we go. 8 verses of scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of darkness of the world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to do, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, and with all power and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Y'all with me on that one? And I kind of want to look around the Sunday school class today, and from what I could see, probably most of you have heard this. Just in case you have any questions and you want to ask me more, see me after church, and I'll explain more. Now, please, guys, ladies, I could not find a man with a long white sleeve shirt and a black pair of pants on when I looked, okay? That's probably what they look like. And if you were a young man and you seen that dude walk by, you would go, ooh, 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 I want to be like that. Ian's about that age now. He's cracking me up. He's a superhero sometimes. Because he saw one. If that dude came in here, even the big guys would go, ooh, 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 ooh. How do you get to be like that? Well, that guy didn't just turn into that when he went into the telephone booth like when we were little and Superman popped out. That guy's not a Marvel comic. That guy was trained. He probably started as a little kid. Fortunately for us that have been trained since little kids, we have a chance to be that person when we grow up. Show of hands if you're not ashamed and you're a church kid. Raise your hand. You're not ashamed, you're a church kid. Amen. About 15% of us in this class. How many of y'all have been having the Holy Ghost for, I'm just throwing it out there, 10 years? 15 years? 25 years. And we weren't raised on the pew. I did not put an age on this, okay? Nor did I put a sex on this. Because in this day and time, we're all going to be fighters. Some of us have been in the military. We had to be a certain age before we could get in. We had to train for a certain length of time before we could go on the battlefield. Not just for our own good, but for good of who? The one next to you. Amen. Quite obvious. When we're fighting single, it is wonderful to think we could be like that. To get like that is going to take a little bit of effort. The first effort is what Brother David taught just Wednesday night in the youth class. Is once you realize you are your worst enemy, you might get to be like that. Because those of us that fight that war within ourselves, you don't look like that. I don't look like that. We never look like that. Most people that fight within themselves show lots of faults. Amen? If you're not ashamed. You show lots of weary upon just within yourself. When you look at that man or that woman in the mirror, it don't look like that, does it? Because you're your worst enemy. We're going to talk about that today? No, we're going to keep it high level. I'm not. But if you're your worst enemy today, maybe you can shake that before this Sunday school lesson is over, because that is your number one enemy. If you have begun to realize that, hey, I'm really not all those things I think I am. I'm really better than all those things I am. How many of you men and or women can do, we're going to go with 50 push-ups. Jesse had to do 50 push-ups before he went to the Army, and we had him practice, right, Brother Patrick? Now, don't make us look bad when you get into the military, Jesse. You're going to do practice before you get there because the people from Lakeland are counting on you. Don't go in the front of everybody in the Army and can't pop 50. But if I would say, okay, everybody give me 50, we're not going to do that today, probably most of us. Y'all lighten up. I'm teaching today. You can talk back to me if you do it in an orderly fashion. It's all right. But give me 50. Who wants it? Anybody? Come up here right now. Run. Adrian, you don't count. Adrian's training in the military. Okay, so we got our whole 1% going forward. Amen. Once we got to realize that we're working this thing, we can believe in ourselves. How many of y'all remember, I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry. How old were you, church kids, when you heard that one for the first time? Your first battle cry. Yes, sir. And somebody was teaching you and training you that one day you were going to be a man of God or a woman of God. Pastor teaches about his Sunday school teachers sitting him on a lap with a flannel grab. I thought Sister McGuire might have to go get one of them if this thing didn't work today. Don't even know we have one around the church anymore. Probably going to move up to a dry erase board. But the thoughts that Pastor has as our leader now, and he could go back to his training days when that man would have been a superhero, and our pastor is now that man. Amen? Amen? When we take the time and learn to overcome our enemies, it starts little. How many of y'all remember praying, "Now lay me down to sleep"? And wonder what that was. My soul to keep, and if I die before I wake. It's a battle cry. There's lots of people that are hurting and going through places. That's one of the only prayers you get to pray. How many of y'all ever said that one? Because that's the only one you could chalk up. It was so horrible. And you get to kneel in the side of your bed, and all you got is, "Now I lay me down to sleep." And close your eyes, and they pop right back open. Our training is the needed necessity to be in the battle. We all are trained. Those of you that are like myself, I did not get into this when I was a young kid. However, I was in a church system. I did learn how to pray. I did understand scriptures, and I was taught scriptures. But I did not have truth. I didn't have Holy Ghost. I wasn't baptized in Jesus' name. I did not believe in overcoming like I do today. I did not believe in fighting like I am today. The kind of belief I have now would have been probably like a Marvel comic, like I said earlier. I did not understand supernatural before 25 years old. And when I got the Holy Ghost at 25 years old, somebody taught me supernatural, and it was like, that can't be me. I cast out devils in Jesus' name, see sick people healed because I prayed for them? No. You got the wrong person. But I was trained, and it took time, and it took years. They taught me how to fast and pray. Anybody was taught how to fast and pray? Raise your hand, or you just didn't feel like eating and took a diet pill. Y'all laughing. I know people that did that when we were fasting. They didn't eat, though, by God. They didn't eat, but they weren't taught. How many of y'all were taught to pray at least an hour? You were taught that. The lady that taught me how to pray, I was taught by a woman how to pray. Yes, I did not have a man in my life. I was not even in, I'm from Louisiana, and I got the Holy Ghost in Georgia. But the couple that I was, if you would, attached to at the time, a lady taught me how to pray. Now, share it with y'all before. She taught me, don't even get up off your knees till it was an hour. If you ran out of words, you stayed in formation. Because something might come. Am I the only one that sometimes run out of things to pray for? And I just wait on the Lord like the Quakers did. And I begin to quake. Oh, something's coming back again. That's praying. You got to be taught that. You just don't come knock it out in 5 minutes and go home. Amen? It's just not like that. When you're taught to fight, not studying, and some of y'all been in the military, and some of y'all watch history channels and such and hear great things about these men that are trained assassins and snipers and the things they do. How about that guy that crawled on his belly through ants and had to lay on his ground to get his target? Who wants to go crawling in some ants today? Y'all come cut grass with me after church. I'll hook you up. The ants are on now. I don't like ants on my ankle, much less have to lay on the ground as a soldier and take it. In the dark, in the night, this guy was fed gravy train. Beefed up. How many of us think of, and I'll get to it later, what that guy looks like at the eating them ready-to-eat meals? If he's got a chance to light a fire and hook one up in a can? Not quite like training when we're young here in church and getting to eat that food, amen? And getting the fat of the lambs, the fat of the calves in church. When you're out there fighting, it's not like that. It could be days before you get a good, whew, that was good to eat. Fortunately for us, when we think about it as Americans, we got it pretty good. How many of y'all want to miss breakfast on a regular basis? How many of y'all want to go hunting for the breakfast? How about that one? Let's just go there. Like a soldier who might run out of food. When we're trained, when we're taught how to eat, when we're taught how to exercise, when we're taught how to follow an order. How many of y'all have trouble following orders? Oh, only three honest people in here. Oh, we got a fourth. Here we go. We got to go on. No, everybody on this side of church. Oh, my God. Not one of y'all. That's awesome. That is awesome. I can't follow my own orders half the time. And I really don't like people telling me what to do. I don't pout like a baby, but I don't like it. But I've been trained to do what I have to do on my job, whether I like it or not. I was trained at school to do. How many of y'all want to sit at school in attention as a baby and just sit there? Listen to Charlie Brown's school teacher going, wah, 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 wah. It was difficult, but you were trained that way. When we were trained in the Lord's army, following orders is critical. Your reaction's critical. When we start off in the offense for the battles, we get assigned new uniforms, nice and crisp. Maybe they don't fit so well, because they won't fit well when you go to battle. All that nice tuck, when you're buff, when you're out in the battlefield, you start trimming it down and that thing's getting kind of loose and sloppy on you. Amen? Y'all with me? I'm going to watch my time. It's our opportunity to focus, Sister Jessica, on the enemy. That's when we were taught when we were little. I don't know how good that looks behind me. See that guy focusing? He's watching his enemy. He's studying his enemy. He's figuring his enemy out. He's in position. Nobody's moving. How many of you take the time to really find out what's going on versus just coming out untrained, screaming and hollering? I'm all about screaming and hollering. I holler and scream a lot. That's my family. Doesn't do a whole lot of good, though. Especially if you do it all the time and everybody gets used to you screaming and hollering, they just walk away. He's just going to scream and holler some more. Let's go outside. I was screaming and hollering yesterday, and Brother Chris just spoke up real gentle. Hey, everybody. Wouldn't y'all like to do this the right way? And everybody just lined up behind. Yes, Brother Chris, we following you. Even my wife betrayed me on that. Left me hollering and screaming by myself. But when we're trained, it takes a whisper. You can't reveal your place and your order. Amen? Sometimes, a lot of times in military, it's hand signals. Just like a dog. Now, if pastor was to come up here and lead us by hand signals, we'd do better than you think. Those of y'all been trained. How long did it take y'all to do this? Song leaders do that all the time, and we all just start clapping. Jesus. I don't even know what they're about to sing when the man said clap. Raise your hands. Nobody has to tell you to do those things. Somebody comes up under the sound of my voice and starts kneeling down right there. We all automatically know, oops, this is about, God's about to move. We're going to start praying. Battle formations. Loudest service ever. And it goes in a silence. We're waiting for tongues and interpretation because we've been trained. We know. We know all those signs. Amen? Let me see if I could get some defense in before I get excited about running out of time. Excuse me, I have lots of notes. I love pulling this out because we got a month of this. How many of you offensively have wondered when we're out on the battlefield fighting and you're in your formation and you know the will of God and you're minding the will of God, that right before the enemy comes in and right before the battle, you zone in, you clicked. You forget about your wife. You forget about your family. You're doing like Paul said, walk like ye have not. Yeah, anybody ever been there besides me? Your family could be sitting right next to you in church, and in all, you just, whew, Holy Ghost is moving, and it's just you and God. Y'all with that one? And when you go home after such a battle and such an experience like that, and the house is just falling apart, everything's just falling apart. You ever wonder why God allowed you to go through that? Why would God do that? It's part of our training. God wouldn't put a novice in a situation. God does not bring please forgive me if you're a first-time visitor. I do not mean to offend. But God would not let a first-time visitor come in our door and let the enemy wipe him or her out. They would never go to anybody's church. Is that fair? We're in adult class. Is that just fair? Think of the worst thing you could possibly think of somebody coming into the house of God with today, wanting to be delivered from, and they can't. And we just help them wipe out in here. They wouldn't go to anybody's church with anybody's dog tag. Church would not be the place. Okay? So when we teach and when we talk about God putting no more than we can bear on us, it comes with our training. Please do not mix the two up. Just because I'm going through my place and you're going through your places and you do not think you can handle it better than me or me handle it better than you. Because there's plenty of times that if we switched heads, we'd both fall down. Okay, just when you think somebody, oh, they got an easy life. Switch heads with them and see what you think about easy. Go through their places, walk their battles and see what they're doing, amen? When we go into defensive mode, when we come home from a long day's battle, the breastplates and the foot attire and the helmet attire, I did not discuss or describe one thing that protect our backs, did I? You're wrapped around in truth, but there's no protection on that back. And in those days, if you would, soldiers constantly looked that enemy in the eye all the time. It was constant in the eye. We were talking about just yesterday in the Civil War. You waited till you seen the white of their eyes. That's the kind of spiritual battle that we have today. Every once in a while, I believe we could launch one. If we all get together today and pray and something happened on the other side of the world, I do believe we can launch a missile still today. But a lot of times when we're confronted in battle, we're waiting to see the white of their eyes. Especially in those days. There was not no fighting. That most of the fighting was probably here across the street. It wasn't like on night, and we're going to send a rocket to the south side of Lakeland today. Okay? Most of the battles that we face and most of the obstacles, we're going to see it eye to eye. You need to be trained for that. You need to be able to look somebody in the eye. You need to be able to stand from the wilds. How many of y'all... Oh, God, I wish I could remember the name of the creature. Most animals, and what we talked to, here recently, dogs and all, they look their prey in the eye, and they scare it. They're dominant with just the eyes. You ever seen that? You ever seen your dog run up to another dog? And they go eye to eye first. Come on, bring it. You bring it. Bring it, bring it, bring it. They don't bow down and turn their back. When we're fighting and we're taught, how many of y'all remember your Sunday school lessons of looking the enemy in the eye? Like I said at the beginning, lots of times you're still looking in that mirror and you're seeing your enemy right there in the morning, him or her, in the eye. How are you going to react today, ma'am? How are you going to react today, sir? Starts in the eye. When we go into a defensive formation, if you can imagine that, all those guys that once had those swords and those spears, and those shields out in a battle formation, walking at the enemy, when pastor may have to call, whoa, when our leader calls, whoa, we need to stop. We need to watch each other's back because we have no protection on the back. When we come into a formation and it's circular formation and all the shields are in place, I would hope to think I was the guy standing up because I don't want to be kneeling down that long. Don't know how long the battle might be. But what do you think when I saw that picture? What do y'all think's going on inside that shield? We know the fiery darts are coming. We know we're protected. But on the inside of that shield, when we're in defensive mode, you actually get to be so close to your brother, so close to your sister when pressure's on, that you could actually see them in another light. You could see somebody that's excited and fighting in a battle and be next to them and go, hey, man, do you know you're cut? You're bleeding all over me. Hey, man, do you realize you don't smell so good right now? What did you step in? We need to push you out of the shell. Do you realize in that shell of protection, it's not air conditioned? It's probably going from everybody on top of each other and their heart beating in the wall. The wall of protection is being bombarded. By rocks, by stones, by arrows. Do you realize when you go into that formation, you may not be next to your husband or your wife? You've just been going to that formation with the person that was next to you. The person next to you may not be the most, prominent guy or gal in the church, and you're right next to them. And they're willing to fight, and they're willing to die for you. Because you're in formation, and everybody's come together. Defensive mode is often always a great thing to go through. Like I said, there's wonderful things in battle. You see people in a new way when the pressure's on, amen? You really get to know people when you fight with them. You really get to know people when you work with them. You really, really get to know people when you eat with them. Y'all figure that out in a few hours when you're at lunch, see who's eating all the food in front of you. Hey, man, take it easy. I didn't get none. Because you're too slow. When we take the time, there is a scripture that we've all been taught to just stand. Those are those people that we always go. Because right in the middle of the battlefield, sometimes, just if you would imagine, dramatized version, somebody's stuck out there all alone. And they don't have anybody to cover their back. They don't have nobody on their side. And we're watching them. And they're just standing. They're not going to run because they were not taught to run. They know if they turn around, they won't last long, will it? And they stand. And we get to watch them. How can they go through those places? They're my brother and my sister, and I can't reach out and help them. Look what's happening. God's performing a miracle in their life. Right before our eyes. They're just standing. To the world, it's probably a very awkward thing when we just stand alone. How many of y'all are the only ones on your job that you know of that believe like you? And your coworkers watch you stand. And it is so easy at times to go, you know, the way of the world, but we're not built that way. We weren't trained that way. We really don't know how to act. Those of you that are converted like me, I don't know how to act. Those of you that have been in church all your life, you look like a chicken with a sock on. We be like the world. I see that. It comes from my mama's past in Louisiana. Believe me, we don't say that in Florida. But it is a good one. It always sticks in my mind. Trying to be something we're not. When you take the time, if you're out there alone, keep standing. We're watching. We're praying. It's all we can do. How many of you are going through places with your hand down right now? You feel all alone. Don't turn your back on what you've been taught here in this church. Don't turn your back on what you, if you've been in church all your life, what your heritage is. Don't turn your back on that. You think it's bad now? Turn your back. You can find out what bad is quick. Amen? Finally, got a few more minutes. Sister McGuire, Brother Ryan, would y'all come up, please? When you study and when you find out just a little bit about what's going on in a battle, you will remember who went out first in most of the scriptures. Most of the scriptures teach us that music went out before us. And some of the most powerful weapons were trumpets, tambourines, loud noise-making instruments. Because if you were in organized sports, do you remember your school song? Think about it for a while. I was going to do the Fighting Tigers from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, but it would just be me and Brother Chris in here, and I would hate all these Gator fans to turn on me. Oh, you want to go LSU? Brother Hernandez chipped in. We go. But your alma mater, your song, Brother Gifford, you got to tell us what it sounded like being in the Marines one time. And everybody that's a Marine knows your tune. Everybody that's in the Army knows their tune. Everybody has a battle cry. When we worship, I don't know what your favorite song is today. I know if I heard Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Y'all gonna have to open up some highway. That's mine. No matter who sings it, it could be Southern gospel, it could be Black gospel. It's the words of the songs. It's what I learned. It inspires me. Amen. Somebody opens up a Jesus on the main line, tell me what you want. I'm about to tell him what I want. Amen. There's power when you hear cymbals. I don't know why we made like that. When you're standing alone, how many of you got your little hum song? Learning to lean. When you're standing by yourself, learning to lean. When we're together, though, however, there is a loud presence of God. Excuse me, I want to make sure I talk. I told Sister McGuire I was going to do good today. And I hope I'm doing okay still by hanging in there. There's scriptures when people were locked in prison. And they got together and they sang, Sister McGuire. And the Bible says they sang it. And I don't know how they sounded. But they bust down some gates. They broke walls down. There's people that walked around a wall in harmony and one accord, as given instructions, and they all shouted at the same time, and the wall fell down. Pastor was just teaching just recently about the few men and women that were had lanterns and pitchers. And the Bible says that God made the enemy confused when the music was played. One thing as apostolics we have is our music, amen? Brother Click, help me if you can. Just remember, because I know you know all the songs. Brother Click was a music man. How many of y'all remember songbook songs? I almost went and got a songbook because I remember songbook songs. And whoever wrote them songbooks, Sister McGuire must have been going through some battles. Because right. When you read the words of some of them songs, it's like, oh my God, why we don't sing songs like that anymore?
That's true.
I guess we got it made in America now. I don't want to go back in the 40s, in the 50s either. Please, I like my air conditioning. Y'all know that's the man Carrier that invented, he made the state of Florida a very popular place when he invented air conditioning. Nobody would come here before then. We're here now, and we're under the presence of God in the song. Let me see how it goes. All right. You don't have to play the system. I got it. When you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. That was my song. I got the Holy Ghost at 25 years old. And man, when they would sing that song, I'd read that song. I'm like, wow, this is a cool song. How many of y'all know that song? I remember the page right away in my songbook. When we, if you would stand, if you had a banner today and you wanted to fight and you were all dressed up, Brother Ryan, can you do 1, 2? 1, 2. 1, 2. That sounds pretty good, huh? That's what it sounded like if we was all in that shell, too. What if you think we threw a banner cry of Jesus in there?
All right.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know when we start, keep going, Brother Ryan, few people sing. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When we're under pressure, Brother Ryan, when we're under pressure, do remember, your battle cry, mine is Jesus. My battle cry, I was taught to cry when I'm fasting, is Jesus. When I'm winning, is Jesus. When I'm shouting, is Jesus. When I'm crying, is Jesus. Amen?
All right.
Let's go while we have time. My second.